And as she said, it's about unity and about obedience. And people think, well, you don't have to come and drop your money in. No, you don't have to. But this morning you get to. So I hope that you bear with me in 2 Chronicles chapter 24, verses 1 through 14. This is the box of Joash because it's biblical. Joash was a young king. This young king, Joash, started reigning when he was 7 years of age. You remember, we'd be in the book of Daniel probably this morning if it wasn't for this special occasion. Joash, remember, there was a revival. He was king over the northern kingdom, and there was revival in the northern kingdom when Daniel and three Hebrew children, and remember, it stems back from their great stand they had for the Lord when they were carried away into captivity because they had a great revival under this young king Joash. He found the Word of God or the Old Testament, and he brought it and he read it to the congregation. He was a really godly king all of his days. So this box of Joash, if you'll listen to it this morning, it will talk to you, and that's what I title it, The Talking Chest. Now, I know this is the most sensitive and very difficult task for a pastor that he faces, to motivate people to give to the work of the Lord and to talk about tithing. Now, most of Baptist church, most of the time, you know what, the pastors won't even preach until the offering's took up. But this morning, we're going to do something different. I'm going to preach, and then we're going to take up the offering, or the offering is going, you're going to bring the offering this morning. Giving is a family deal, as I've said. I hope that family have come together and understand what the Lord would like you to grow in knowledge for your family, the box of Joash. Now, as we carry the offering plates to you today, in the Old Testament and also in the New Testament, in a lot of the larger churches, even today, they have an offering plate, or offering box, should I say, at the door, and you drop your offerings into that box because it just takes up so much time for larger churches and time and convenience. So what we do here, because of time and convenience, we won't do this every Sunday. Don't get excited. We won't do this every Sunday. But the reason we do pass the offering, because it takes up so much time for everybody to do what we're going to do this morning. So it's for our convenience as we pass the plates or offering plates today. But it was not what they done in the Bible times. The Bible times, the people brought their offerings to the box, to the treasure house. We have in Mark chapter 12, verses 41, you remember it says, Jesus set over against the treasure, and behold, how the people cast money into the treasure, and many there was rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in her two mites, which makes a farthing, maybe two pennies. And he called unto him his disciples and said unto them, Verily I say unto you that this poor widow have cast more in than all they that which cast in the treasure. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her wants did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Let us pray. Father, we know this is a special time this morning, and it's a different service than what we usually have. Father, we already know and feel your presence here today. How, Lord, that you like to understand that your work must go on. And without your people's obedience and their giving and their tithing, that your work on this earth, it don't spread as fast as it should spread. Even to our missionaries and our foreign countries and even to our next door neighbors, Lord, we need our giving, and Lord, and I know that you do, and our offerings. So, Father, I pray in a very special way, Lord, as you already have, God, that you have hovered over upon this church, and make yourself present to each person here this day and understand the great blessing that they will receive by the obedience and understanding of the giving that you have for each and every one of us to give. And we just want to thank you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. As we come together today at the box of Joash, to give our tithe and also to our offerings to the work of the Lord. Because our great God is worthy of all and more than what we give him. And I believe you could put an amen right there. To myself as a person and to myself as a family and also as a church, God is worthy everything that I give him back. I want to carry you back to Pleasant Hill because, as Miss Shirley has said, the great miracles and blessings that God blessed First Baptist Church at Jacksonville. But I tell you, He has also blessed this church called Pleasant Hill here. I'm telling you, throughout the years, they have been a building program. I know it started back on a wood pile some years ago with a dozen eggs and maybe a bushel of corn, and they didn't have a church. And God put it in their hearts as they have you here this day to give, and people began to give. And they had an old wooden church, and that old wooden church, it sat by the side of the road, and you know, before long, they needed a bigger church. And so God gave them a little bit bigger church and a brick church. And that was back years ago. I don't know how long it would go, but I know that Brother Owen, when they was here, they had a building program going on. We put carpet down where there weren't no carpet, and we had new pews going on. And then Brother Darrell come, you know, the building program continued. You know, we built on to the church, and there's a lot of great improvements was made, and built a social hall, and just a great things was done. And when Brother Darrell was here, and see, God kept blessing us, and now we have this church here, and God is still blessing us, and the church is still growing. So we just want to thank the Lord, you see, for the blessings and the miracle. It's here, this place called Pleasant Hill, because God has blessed this church, and the people has been obedient in the past, as I know they will in the future, of the growth that we need here. And I just want to thank you this day. In 1 Corinthians 12, 1 and 2, as Paul says, now concerning the collection for the saints, and Paul was taking up money, as I have given orders to the church of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay aside him in store, it says, as God has prospered him, that there may be no gathering when I come, that you might already do this. Now that word, it says concerning the collection. That word collection also, it says, mean to say something. That's what it means, to say something. And today, I'm going to tell you, as you pass by this box as offering, if you'll listen to this box, it will say something as you place your offering or either just these envelopes. It's a wonderful way for God to honor and bless us here at Pleasant Hill and anywhere this is done, to show that God is worthy of all our blessings. As we raise money for what we need to raise it for, it's for God's glory. And I tell you, we get the benefit of it. But we ought to, you know, celebrate the box of Joash starting today. And to every person ought to anticipate this and how great it is. And now we're going to march by this box in a few minutes. You see, well, it might take up some time. But as Sister Shirley says, thousands of people is in that church, and thousands of people come by that one box, and they come by that box and they gave the offering. I know we can do this because I don't believe we got 250 here this morning. I know we can do this pretty quick this morning. So we want to ask you and thank you, Lord, for your testimony, and also for the great blessing we have here at this church and what God is doing for us. So when we begin to give, God begins to bless. It says in verse 2, and Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Now, as we look at this, we'd like to read in 2 Chronicles, and we will again at this second chapter and read two or three verses in this second chapter of 2 Chronicles 24 and 2. And Joash did that was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. Now, and Jehoiada took of him two wives, he begot sons and daughters. And it came to pass after this that Joash was minded to repair the house of the Lord. He began to repair the house of the Lord. At that time, it was in terrible shape, the temple was. And it said he began to do the things that God had called him to do. Now, in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10, it says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me, test me, God says, me now, wherein, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive. God said, you just try me and test me. If you just bring your tithes, I'll open up the windows and bless you more than what you can even understand or accept. Now, God says, test me and prove me that I won't do this. I'm here to tell you that God will bless you above and beyond any expectation that you have when you begin to be obedient to God. Now, as we look into this verse of Scripture, I'd like you to see the person who directed this giving, and that was King Joash. It was over the northern kingdom, as I said. Now, he was over this building project. Now, I want you to understand that a building project that keeps growing and growing and growing as a church that really, really wants to serve the Lord. And one thing I'd like you to see, the heart that was blessed to the Lord. Verse 2, it was a man named Joash, and he had conviction. He had conviction what he needed to do as Homer Lindsay Jr. and here today, conviction what we need to do. That would be a good thing that you might put on your tombstone, you see, that you see that you had convictions of the Lord. Now, it's not always easy to do what the Lord is telling you to do. I know as a pastor it's very hard. You know what? It was hard for me to do this because I know people get their nose out of joint with anything we do is a change, and they don't like a change. Certainly, they don't like to come down. There's a lot of things, and it's hard to do. I know what God has called me to do, and you see, I do what God has called me to do instead of what the people wants me to do. I try to do what God wants me to do, but it's not easy because it's difficult to do what God. And even as you know, when God calls you to do something, tells you to do, it's not always easy for you to do what God tells you to do. Sometimes it is unpopular, but you see, every time that we go to have a building program or do something, you know what? It makes the devil mad. Always. Hey, you don't know what happened. And there's a lot of things happened, I'll tell you. When we started this new church, even when it got in the minds of the people, some people said we didn't need this church. A lot of people said we built one too big and all kinds of things, you know, borrowed too much money. But you see, where it stands at today, we had the church, it had been paid for in a record amount of time. Why? Who done that? God done that. Through you, God done that. So it's not always easy when you have these building projects going on. But the building project, old devil gets mad. Joash has learned one thing. He says, you know what? If you please God, it don't matter who you displease. But if you please the people and you don't please God, you're in trouble with the Lord. So you can just remember that always. Christ, he says, you know what? If you love him. Now the box of Joash, he says it was done right in the sight of the Lord. God do not take Gallup polls, and God do not take public opinion what's right or what's wrong. He has already said. And you know what he said? Right is right if everybody is against it, and wrong is wrong if everybody's for it. If you don't believe it, just look what happened to the Supreme Court, the homosexual they just ruled on. God says it's wrong, and it don't matter if they rule on it and the whole country is for it. God says it's wrong. What's right is right, and what's wrong is wrong according to God. But not only that, we find out also a heart that is burning for the Lord. Verse 4 it says, you know, Joash was minded to repair the house of the Lord. In verse 4, it says, and it came to pass after this that Joash was minded, that means to repair, to the house of the Lord. Well, he set his heart to repair that house of the Lord. The things that need to be done. Repair means to mend, to set a broken bone. And then verse 13, it says in that same chapter, so the workmen's wrought, and the work was perfected by them, and they set the house of God in state and strengthened it. They had that word perfect there because the workmen restored the house of the Lord to its original part. You see, it had the sparkle back, you know, like a new diamond. Verse 14, it also says, and when they had finished it, they brought the rest of the money before the king and the Jehoiada, whereof made vessels for the house of Lord, even vessels to the ministry and to offer withal, and spoons and vessels of gold and silver. And they offered burnt offerings in the house of the Lord continuously all day of Jehoiada. You see, it refinished the house. They refurnished the house because not only was the house falling down, the house was empty. It had lost its sparkle. You see, a lot of churches, the paint's feeling off. Maybe the iron is rusting and the floors is dirty. Maybe the cobwebs in the winter. You know what? It's just a shame whenever you see this happening at the house of the Lord. But not all had a part of this. You see, you find out the house was empty of a lot of things. You see, we need to keep this house up. Not this house, but everything belongs to the Lord. The king's heart was broken because of the things that they needed in the house of the Lord. Why was his heart broken and everybody else didn't? Well, is everybody's heart broken today? Because the king had a heart for the Lord, and some rest of them did not see the great need for the house of the Lord. I want to tell you, you can't separate your love from the Lord from your love of the house of God. Now, people says they can, but you can't. How you feel about the house of God really is how you feel about God. People don't like to admit that. You can tell a lot about a church and its people by the condition of its building. The church should be the prettiest place in the community. You can't have a burning for one without having a burning for the other one. The procrastination now that delayed the giving. Always there'll be some that don't want to go along with it. I don't feel like we ought to do this. It's not a good time. The economy is down. I don't think we really should start now. The problems, you know what? They don't see the urgency. In verse 5, he says again, "And ye gather together the priests and the Levites, and he said unto them, Go out into the cities of Judah and gather all Israel the money to repair the house of your God from year to year, because you see the work keeps going on, and see that you hasten the matter." Hurry up. Howbeit, the Levites hastened it not. They did not go out into haste. You know, they did not see the urgency of it. Haste the matter, he said. Go out in urgency, quickly. I'm going to tell you why we need to do it quickly, because your time and my time is running out of what I might be able to do for the Lord. They said, hasten it, quickly. Verse 6, and the king called for Jehoiada, the chief, and said unto him, "Why hast thou not required of the Levites to bring in out of Judah and out of Judea the collection according to the commandments of Moses, the servant of the Lord, and the congregation of Israel for the tabernacle of witnesses? How have you not done this?" The Levites did not do this. The next time he asked them, and the next time he commanded them as a king, in there in verse 8. And at that, the king commanded they make a chest. That's where it come from. "And set it without the gate of the house of the Lord." He made this gate, this box, and had it made for people to walk by and give their offerings. And then I want to tell you the people who demonstrated this giving. Now, these people there, as you today, the people were a great people. They was godly people. They was grateful people. And I'm going to tell you, they was giving people. And I'm going to tell you, it's not what they gave, but it's how they gave it. You understand that this morning. It's not what you give or how much you give, but it's how that you give it. Now, I would never tell you how much that you ought to give. But I will tell you, according to these verses of Scripture and these people, how you ought to give, not how much. I'll tell you how that you ought to give by these people. They gave humbly. You see, by obedience to their leader, the king commanded them. The people was under authority of the God's man, with no griping, no backbiting, no criticism. Sure, some thinks it might have been silly and they should not have done this. But you see, in Acts, we find there was two people also, Ananias and Sapphira's wife. The Holy Spirit judged their heart that day. And I'll tell you what, today, God knows exactly what you're thinking today. And he's judging every one of us today is under the sound of my voice. Not me. I'm just a mortal man. But I'm going to tell you, the Holy Spirit of God, just like he was judging Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, that day when they come to give, he's judging your heart this day also. In verse 9 it says, "And they made a proclamation through Judah and Jerusalem to bring into the Lord the collection that Moses, the servant of God, laid upon Israel in the wilderness." Moses laid that offering as a tenth, as a tithe to come in. The people in these verses, they learned how to give. And the matter is not of choice, the matter is not of money, but the matter is of obedience. Even in the wilderness. The IRS tells me that only 1.7% of the money that people's made is given to any type of charity of church work whatsoever in our country. And there's more money spent on dog food in this country, and there's more money spent on chewing gum, and more money spent on tobacco than they ever thought about the tithes of building God's house. Bring to the Lord thy collection. You're not giving your offering, as I said, to this building. You're not giving your offering even to the parking lot. You're not giving your offering to the budget. You're not giving your offering to this box. You're giving your offering to the Lord. To the Lord. They gave happily. It says, you know, in verse 10, "And all the prince and all the people rejoiced and brought in and cast into the chest, and they had made an end of." People said, "Well, I don't have to give." You don't. You don't have to read your Bible. You don't have to come to church. But here I'm going to tell you what you do. You get to. You got to come to church this morning. And I'm going to tell you, you get a chance to give. You ain't got to give, but you get an opportunity to give. And that's the great difference of our heart today, that you get to. 1 Corinthians 9 and 7 says, "Every man according as he has purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or on necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Give for the tabernacle of witnesses, which is a soul-ridden church." They gave heartily. Verse 11, and it came to pass that as what time the chest was brought into the king's office by the hand of the Levites, and when they saw that there was much money, the king's scribes and the high priest's officer came and emptied the chest and took it and carried it to his place again, and they did day by day and gave the money in the abundance. After this box is filled up, we're going to empty it out and we're going to do it again this morning. You reckon we'll fill it up? But what it says, day by day, because you see, this is only one Sunday. This is only one giving. God's work continuously goes on continuously. As I said, we start off on a wood pile. And it kept going to where it's at today. If the Lord Jesus Christ don't come back, what will it be into the future of the 30 or 40 years from now? It's a day by day by day as we give to the Lord. You see, they gave sacrificially. They gave more and above. You know what? Most of us could give more than what we think we can. I guarantee you, because I know my own heart. You see, but they gave hopefully. Verse 5, if from year to year, the work of the Lord never ends. I'll tell you one thing. There are no building projects in a dead church. There are no building projects in a dead church. Look around us in the countries and the churches that you know. For years, same size, sitting there, sitting there, sitting there. You ought to be tickled to death and praising the Lord that you're in a church this morning that God is blessed and it's still growing. It's not growing as fast as I'd like for it to grow in numbers and soul salvation, but it's still growing. It is a growing church. Building projects. Give, you see, that we might get the victory, but God gets the glory. It's what it's all about. The box of Joash. Now, the box of Joash, some years ago, there was a young farm boy up in the mountains. And he wanted to marry this girl, and he fell in love with this farm girl some several years ago. But he didn't have no money to buy her a ring. But he says, honey, if you will marry me, when I get enough of money, he says, I'll buy you a string of pearls. So they got married. And you know, he says, I use my old tobacco, and used to have tobacco pouches where they'd roll their own cigarettes. He said, I'm going to quit smoking, and every time I want a cigarette each day, I'm going to put some money in my old tobacco pouch. You know, it went on for 50 years, and there was a lot of times they had hard problems and of making money. But their 50-year anniversary, he brought her in, and he set her down in a favorite chair. He said, honey, I want you to close your eyes. And she closed her eyes, and he pulled out that string of pearls, and he put it around her neck. He said, okay, now, honey, open your eyes. And she opened her eyes, and she looked at those pearls, and she said, are they real? He said, you better believe they're real. She said, why did you do this? And he put his hands in her lap, and he kneeled down. He said, honey, just because I love you. As my wife comes this hour, we're going to put in the collection plate. We have here a collection from the Pascals that was here this past weekend. And they wanted a collection, the offering to put in this box for them. And that's the first offering. And me and my wife, as we put our offering in, I want to tell Jesus. And he'd say, why did you do that? And I want to tell Jesus one reason. Because I love you, Jesus. Now wait, mother, wait. I love you because you first loved me. There's a person in this box as you come by. I want you to see this person. And what we're going to do this morning is Miss Margo's going to come and sing a song. Y'all stay seated. We're going to let this side rise. And if you would like to take part of this, so you and your kids remember that envelope, we'd like for you to march by and go back to your seat. Y'all stay seated. This here, stay seated. If you will, on this side, you'd like to rise and you stand and you'd like to take part of this, I'd like for y'all to come and go back to your seat. When they get through, then we'll let the middle group come as she begins to sing this song. And remember, why are you giving this collection? There's only one reason. Because Jesus, I love you. Y'all come at this time if you will. Person in this box, this is who God expects to build this church here through the people that come by. And I thank you this morning for the great blessings of God this day. We have an invitation song. Thank you, Miss Margot. That was beautiful.